Chapter 5. The Captain's Papers. Dr. Livesey's house was dark as we rode up. A maid opened the door almost at once when I knocked. "Is Dr. Livesey here?" I asked. She told me he had gone up the hill to dine with the squire. The distance was short, so I walked beside the officer's horse up the moonlit avenue. We walked to where the white line of the hall buildings perched atop the hill. The officer dismounted and we were quickly admitted to the house and led to the library. The room was very fine, all lined with bookcases with busts upon the tops of them. Squire Trelawney and Dr. Livesey sat beside a bright fire. I had never seen the squire up close before. He looked like a tall adventurer from a book, with his face roughened by his many travels. He welcomed us politely. The doctor smiled at me and said, "Friend Jim, what good wind brings you here?" The officer stood straight and stiff and gave a quick account of the evening. Both men listened without interruption. "Riding to the rescue was an act of virtue," the squire announced. He rang for a servant to bring us refreshments to warm us. "So, Jim," the doctor said, "you have what they were after?"
"Here it is, sir,"
I said, handing him the package. The doctor put it quickly in his coat and changed the subject. He suggested that the officer should head off as soon as he finished his refreshment. "Jim will spend the night at my house," Dr. Livesey assured him. The officer was soon off. As soon as we were alone, the doctor pulled out the packet and opened it to find a book and a sealed paper. The book was a journal by one Billy Bones, who we assumed to be the dead captain. The doctor set it aside. The paper had blobs of wax seal in several places. The doctor opened the seals carefully and out fell a map of an island. The map contained every detail that would be needed to bring a ship to a safe anchor near the island's shores. The island looked a bit like a fat dragon. Three hills were marked on the map, with the tallest right at the center labeled the Spyglass. Three red crosses marked spots on the island. One cross of the three was marked with the words, "The bulk of the treasure here."
"Captain Flint's treasure map," the squire said, his face bright with excitement. "Tomorrow I'll head for Bristol. In 3 weeks' time, I'll have the finest treasure-hunting ship you can imagine. Jim Hawkins can be our cabin boy. He will be ship's doctor, Livesey. I'll be admiral."
"That sounds good," Dr. Livesey said. "I have only one concern."
"What's that?" the squire asked.
"You can't keep a secret, and this secret must most certainly be kept," the doctor said sternly. "None of us must breathe a word of treasure to anyone."
The squire pounded the doctor on the back in good-natured agreement.
"I'll be silent as the grave."
As these great plans unfolded, I stayed at the hall under the watchful eye of the groundskeeper, Mr. Redruth.
I spent hours studying the map so closely that I could have drawn it in the dark. I dreamed up adventures on every hill. My head was full of battles with savages or wild animals, but we always won. Finally, word came from the squire. The doctor was arranging a replacement to handle his practice while we were away. I opened the letter and read it along with Mr. Redruth. The letter said the squire had found a grand ship called the Hispaniola and had fitted it for travel. He added that he'd made a great find in a ship's cook. The man's name was Long John Silver, and he had lost a leg sailing in service to England. Silver seemed to know everyone in Bristol and secured nearly the entire crew himself. The squire ended by saying that I should visit my mother in the company of Mr. Redruth
and then head straight to Bristol.
The adventure had begun.